giving you something new to look at this morning. Those of you on the laundry cam, congratulations on being here, watching and listening, listening and watching. The dryer is open. The door of the dryer is open. You've never seen that before. It's a portal into heat. Right there, it's a portal into heat and tumbling. Heat and tumbling. And cling-free sheets, throw them in there. Everything smells good and does not stick. This is Martin Zender, and you are at the Revelation Series. I want to share with you an email I got today about taking God literally, because this is the cause of breakthrough for many people. And they've never done this before, especially not in the book of Revelation. This is a man named Ken in Washington State. He wrote me and said this: "A key to any understanding that I might enjoy is that I heard this crazy bloke who insisted and keeps insisting that God's word should be taken literally whenever possible." And then he says, "Thank you for identifying Babylon as Babylon. The crazy bloke, by the way, is me. I'm the crazy bloke who insists on taking God literally." Ken says, "Thank you for identifying Babylon as Babylon. I shared what I shared with you because the husbandman must be the first partaker of the vine." In other words, if you labor, and if you put your crop in, and if you water it, and tend to it, pick the weeds, then you ought to be the first to eat what that crop produces. And we're enjoying this. Ken's enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. We laid the groundwork for it, and now we eat from it. And it's a beautiful thing to come to understanding. And to realize that, again, this book is called the Book of Revelation, not obfuscation. It's the book of the unveiling, not the veiling. Ken goes on. "The miracle of A.E. Nock's life." And A.E. Nock, we respect this man, many of us. He was the compiler of the Concordant Literal New Testament. He wrote a book called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, which, in my learned opinion, is the best book ever written on the unveiling, because of the simple fact that he took God at his word. Ken's going to get into that here. "The miracle of A.E. Nock's life was not his bear-trap mind, his ability to slog through tedium, or his mastery of language. His great gift," pay attention here, folks, this is rich, "his great gift was that he was given the childlike faith to believe that God is a Father who delights to make himself understood." Childlike faith to believe that God is a Father who delights to make himself understood. And based on that premise, we take God literally. When God says Babylon, he means Babylon. Unless he says that these mountains represent kings, or these lampstands represent ecclesias. Okay? That's the principle. Ken finishes here. "God alone knows the value of what you have blessed my life with." Well, thank you, Ken. It's a privilege to be used by God to bless your life and the lives of those people who are listening, who have been with this series from its inception. Thank you. Thank you very much. Abundance of grace, peace, and joy to you. Thank you. And the same to you, my friend. Now, speaking of, taking God literally, I had referenced briefly yesterday this, talking about the head wound, the injury of the beast, and of the wild beast. The man of lawlessness basically will sustain a head wound. I wonder what that means. And the two witnesses will be dead in the streets for 3.5 days. I wonder what that means. And so these things mean exactly what they say. And the question was posed to me last weekend, Martin, if it's so obvious that someone receives a head wound and is resurrected, then everybody's going to know that's the Antichrist, because Revelation says it's the Antichrist. Or if the two witnesses lay in the streets for 3.5 days, and even the Christians who are generally asleep, they're going to know that, oh, those are the two witnesses. And yet I tell you many times that Christianity will be falling for the end time deception. They will be falling. Hook, comma, line, comma, and sinker. Well, you don't necessarily need a comma after the last line. Hook, comma, line, and sinker. There's a couple ways to think of that. But Christians just fall into it. So, Martin, it's going to be so obvious. How are they not going to be seeing it. You say they're going to be deceived all the way through. Here's how. God always does something a little bit tricky to get people off the trail. For instance, there was a very plain scripture in Hebrew writings that said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So how could they not know? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Ah, God made sure that very soon after Bethlehem, he was whisked away, the Messiah was. Jesus was whisked away by his parents to Egypt because God put it in the heart of Herod to destroy him. Yeah, God did that. Rough truth, tough truth, I know, but all's of God. Sorry, I didn't write that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. So anyone who is not careful would think, well, this obviously cannot be the Messiah because the Messiah was born and is to be born in Bethlehem, and we know that Jesus was born in Nazareth. Oh, do you know that, do you? If you were careful, you would see that indeed he was born in Bethlehem. So God will do that. He will obscure the truth a little bit. Not because he doesn't want to be known, but because he wants unashamed workmen. He wants people who want to know so badly that they'll just look under the covers. They'll just go one level further into the truth, into the real reasons and the real meanings behind things. Words, for instance, we go down to the real meanings behind words. Jesus never said hell because Jesus didn't speak English. You go one level beyond that, find out he spoke Greek. He never said hell. He said Gehenna. He said Hades. What do those things mean? Good question. Buy a concordance, buy a study tool, which are available at any Christian bookstore, and you will find the truth. That's all it takes. One level beneath. So, God is going to do something so that people will think that the two witnesses are actually lying in the street for a shorter period of time or a longer period of time. There's going to be misreporting. The mainstream media will be covering this event. There's going to be cameras all over it. And they're going to say that these can't be the two witnesses. They're only dead for one day. So they're going to somehow hide the coverage of the first 2 days, and they're going to not report it. Or is it something like that? Because many people then, in those end times, the end days, as opposed to now, we are close, but then as now, the press will twist the news to its own purpose. And so, like the press in Jesus' day, the press was reporting that this man who many are clamoring to be the Messiah was not born in Bethlehem. Just like they're telling lies about politicians through and through. You can't believe anything they say. They're disreputable source. They're tinted. They're colored. They are actually in the support group for one candidate or another. It's no longer an objective reporting of news, is what I'm saying. It becomes support for one or another candidate, and the news will be twisted. So why would I assume that the death blow to one of the heads, and it's not, I take this back, it's not necessarily the Antichrist that will receive the death blow, it will be one of the heads of the ten kings of the wild beasts will receive a death blow. It's probably the Antichrist, and there will be a miracle that he will rise from the dead, and the people will go, ooh, so it's going to be a great marvel, those who are being deceived. And those who are being deceived, even though the scriptures are right in front of them, they will not associate this person with the fulfillment of the prophecy of the unveiling. That's the bizarre thing, that you just can't imagine how it could happen. And I'm telling you, it's happened before. Daniel predicted the times and the seasons before the coming of Messiah with the 490 years that were segregated for Israel. And he gave, after 462 years, Messiah will be cut off. And so they had these prophecies. This is what brought Anna and Simeon to the temple on the date of Jesus' dedication. They knew it was going to happen. And the three wise guys knew it was going to happen. There were signs in the heavens. And I'm going to be talking about soon the constellation that is going to appear next year, September of 2017, a constellation that has not been seen since the birth of Christ. Some say it hasn't been seen in 7,000 years. But in fact, it was present in a different form, slightly less perfect alignment at the coming of Christ. So there are signs and seasons for Israel, and they are to know. They are to know. It's a revealing. But again, the three wise guys, Anna and Simeon, they looked beyond. They looked deeper. They did not graze on mainstream news media. It's really the same thing today. My equivalent of the mainstream news media in politics and world news would be the church in spiritual news. That's the mainstream media, the pop culture of information. So you can either have the pop culture and information in world news or political news, or you can have the pop culture of information in spiritual news. That would be the church. And people go to church every Sunday and they believe what they hear there. Just like people go to the mainstream networks and they believe what they hear. And so, but you can't do that. And God purposely, again, puts those things in place so that people will be deceived who are careless and who don't have enough of the Spirit of God. And I know that's God's ultimate responsibility, to look beneath the surface. And again, it doesn't take a genius. It just takes application. But these days, application is genius because it's so rare. It's a desire to get to the bottom of something. So I guarantee you that whatever God says is going to happen is going to literally happen. The mistake you're making is to think that, the Christians aren't going to be deceived because it's automatically, they're going to see, obviously this is a fulfillment of Scripture. Well, it will be a fulfillment of Scripture, but it will not be obvious. It will not be obvious because something's going to be skewed. Something's going to be ever so cleverly skewed by God himself. Remember I told you he puts things out there. He makes things happen to see which side of the divide people will camp on, people will gravitate toward. So again, he puts the doctrine of eternal torment out in mainstream religious media to see where you're going to go. Do you delight in the idea of eternal torment? Ooh, that sounds good to me. I buy into that because it tickles me. Tickles my little righteous bones to think that other people are going to be tormented for eternity while I am saved. Therefore, I must be great. I must have made a wise decision. Why are these people so stupid? Then God knows. God knew already, but he exhibits it for all to know and all to see. And this will stand as a testimony against that person at the great white throne. When, oh God, did I not believe the truth? Well, you believe the mainstream religious media lie that I was an eternal tormentor. And then they'll go, they'll sound like a chicken when they try to excuse themselves. But too late. Too late. Your true heart was exposed. And then there are people who go, that can't be God. You know I said this before, but this is such a great point. And tomorrow I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Talk to you about the great deception that God himself puts out there. He himself puts the deception to see where people fall, to demonstrate where people fall. I got more to say on this, but I need to close the show this way. Our friend Travis Penner in Vancouver, British Columbia, who has put these shows together for you really since the bunker days in Brazil, he volunteered to do the duty of putting the titles on the show, the intro that you see. He puts it on it every morning. I don't do that. I made the intro, but he tags it to the front of the show every day. He does the audio, the MP3 file that you see underneath the video. He puts that together. He puts the intro music on and the closing music at the end. Well, he has a young daughter, and as a father and a husband, his time is being taken up. And he wrote me and he said, Martin, I'm sorry. I've enjoyed doing this duty for you, over these past 2 years, but I'm going to have to pass this on to someone because I just can't do it anymore. My responsibilities as a husband and a father are pressing on me. And I said, Travis, damn you. No, I didn't. I said, you're doing the right thing. Your family is your first line of ministry. Absolutely. I was a little depressed. Oh my, he's such, I'm afraid I take him for granted? I've mentioned him several times. My sister, too, does the great work of getting this show to you, putting the photo on. Anyway, I'm putting out the call right now for someone to take Travis's place. This is noble work. I will take you for granted. I'll just tell you that ahead of time. No, I won't. I will acknowledge you publicly at irregular intervals, let's say. I need this done. It's all I can do to get these shows out and to write the newsletter and to work on the book. So please, if you have an inclination for, it's not overly technical, but you know there are some challenges involved. You have to be able to put this file up on YouTube. That's another thing Travis does. He pulls the raw file off of Dropbox. Dropbox is a cloud service. I put the raw show file and sometimes it is raw, on Dropbox. Travis takes it out of Dropbox, puts the razzmatazz on it, the razzle dazzle, then he uploads it to YouTube with the title and everything. That's what you're going to have to do if you take this job. Please do not volunteer for this unless you know you can do it. I'm not talking technically. I'm talking your time, your dedication. This is noble work. You will get a great reward for this at the dais of Christ. And I'm not joking right now. Absolutely not joking. You're getting this truth to the world. It's a huge opportunity to do something great for this thing. God uses workmen, right? God could snap his finger and get stuff on YouTube. But no, we have to go through this tedious process. This is of God. If you're inclined to do this, write me and I'll pick the winner, because whoever I pick is the winner. Sorry, you've won a great lottery to be able to do this work. I will send you to Travis. Travis will train you. It probably take 15 minutes. It's not that hard, but if you're technically challenged, maybe you shouldn't volunteer here. Even though the spirit is willing, the technology disposition might be weak. But you know what? God uses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. What skills do I have? And yet here I am talking to you every day, speaking the truth of God from a laundry room where the dryer is open today as a special thrill for you. A new vista, a new horizon has opened up for us all. Judy will never be replaced. Someone says to me, why don't you put up some other movie stars from that era? Where's Gloria Swanson? Where's Hedy Lamarr? Where is Raquel Welch? Even? No, Judy will not be replaced. I tell you that. I tell you this. I'm Judy's here for the duration. So that's a good thing. They're coming in on me. They're trying to open the door and break in here. I gotta go, people. So listen, tomorrow I'm gonna talk about 2 Thessalonians. If you have any inclination whatsoever to help me with this work, write me at mzender@martinzender.com. I'll send you to Travis. He'll train you, and you will be a star for the eons.